Sunday the 11th of February 2018, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Yahweh. Sermon title, Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Bible reading, Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. Talk by Bob Crowther.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. The Amalekites defeated. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at the war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, again. We're continuing our sermon series in which we're looking deeper into the very character of God. The many things our Creator represents to us and what God truly is to us. And today we look at Yahweh Nissi. God is my banner. God is my flag. Always think it's good to start with definitions so that we know what we're talking about. So let's firstly start with the name Yahweh. We've been talking about it for a few weeks now. You'll see Yahweh in your Bibles and it was shown during the reading. For us, it's always written as the Lord in capital letters. That's the Christian, anglicized, written version of a name that was never really intended to be written down. You see, thousands of years ago, the Israelites didn't really have much in the way of writing, and the name of God was sacred to them. So sacred, they wouldn't even speak his name aloud, let alone think about writing it down. I find it really interesting note, actually, that when Jesus came to rekindle that broken relationship between man and God, he turned that absolutely on its head. He told us that as children of God, we should call him Father. That's what he said to us. He instructed us to pray saying, "Our Father." And indeed, St. Paul takes this intimate relationship even further. And he writes to the Romans and says, when we cry out to God, we call him Daddy. Father. And yet, the Israelites wouldn't speak his name. So when Moses asked God, "Well, who shall I say sent me to confront the Egyptians?" God says, "Well, tell them Yahweh." Yahweh is not a name, it's a statement. It effectively says, "I am what I am." Rightly, it comes across as perhaps something God doesn't feel he wants or even needs to explain any further to Moses. It's a statement of fact. "I am. I just am. You know what I am. What if you need to give me a name? It's that. I just am. Yahweh." And the spelling of Yahweh itself is slightly confusing because the ancient script had no vowels at all. So the anglicized spelling of the original language says YHWH. Well, the technical expression for that is tetragrammaton. Comes from the Greek. Thank you. I've done my research. And the Greek means four letters. You can see why. Now, we can't pronounce this word here, so we drop some vowels in. We make it into Yahweh. And then around the time of William Tyndale, this became even further anglicised. The letters changed. The Y became a J. The first A and E, the W a V. And that changed it to Jehovah. It's the same word. Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, I am what I am, Father, Creator, Comforter, Leader, Friend, God. We know him as so many characters and manifestations, and today we think of him as our banner. So what's a banner? Well, the word nisi is thought to be derived from the words hoist or lift up or refuge. All of which makes sense in the context of our relationship with God. The dictionary describes a banner as a long strip of cloth bearing a design or slogan and hung in a public place. We've got two there. But that's a pretty bland expression of what it is and doesn't really tell us what it means to us as individuals. A banner is something that identifies and unifies a particular group of people. For example, military flags. A flag or a standard is often referred to as a banner. And this banner serves as an inspiration to soldiers in battle. It reminds them what they're fighting for, their ruler, their comrades, their homes, their families, their values, their very way of life. It's a representation of who they are and who their allegiance is to. And it's also a rallying point for soldiers who might have become confused in the heat of battle. Something visual that served as a focal point for a place that they could return to for safety. And banners were held sacred by soldiers over the years. It was a sign of great success if you captured your enemy's banner. And a sign of great disgrace if your army lost theirs. To suffer major losses in battle was unfortunate, but to lose your flag, to lose your banner was unthinkable. And generals have been known to commit suicide rather than return home with the disgrace of having lost their banner. Throughout the centuries, almost since time began, people had banners that represented who they are and what they stand for. I don't know if you, some of you know that I'm a little bit, everyone's got a bit of anorak in them. For me, I paint model soldiers and that makes me into a bit of a military historian. And I pick up loads of things from sort of back in the day. And I like this as a good analogy of how you can be protected by your banner. In 1842, the British Army was embroiled in the First Anglo-Afghan War. And we were retreating from Kabul. Things don't seem to change very much. And they were attacked and they were heavily defeated at the Battle of Gandamak. And during that battle, there was a certain Captain Thomas Souter. And he didn't want to lose the flag. They held it sacred. He couldn't lose that battle flag. So he wrapped the regimental colours around his waist just to ensure they didn't get lost. And here's a picture of him with that flag around his waist. And the British soldiers were facing defeat. And Captain Souter was taken captive, but rather than being executed, his life was spared because they thought he must be a really important man to have such a bright waistcoat. Surely he must be like a king. So his life was spared. And he was later released back to the British Army because he'd quite literally been saved by being wrapped within the banner that he held so sacred. And the analogy, of course, is that we're all saved by being wrapped within the banner of God. A banner is an important thing that expresses your very core. And here we have Moses declaring, God is my banner. So we'll just have a look at the passage in context. The Israelites have left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've been fed and watered by God. And then, as the passage tells us, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. The Amalekites were another ancient tribe. They seem to be the traditional enemy of the Israelites. They're always fighting. They're always picking fights, if you like, with the Israelites. And generally they were thought of as devil worshippers. And Josephus, the Roman Jewish historian, speaks of Amalek with great contempt. He's a bad guy in the book of Esther, because Haman is generally considered to be an Amalekite. To call somebody an Amalekite became an expression of insult, great insult amongst the Jews. But whoever they are, they've decided to attack the Israelites. And Joshua leads the Israelite army in defense. And Moses stands at the top of the hill with the staff of God in his hand. This would be the same staff that struck a rock to produce water in the wilderness. It parted the Red Sea. God uses this staff himself to perform the old staff, snake staff trick when he introduces himself to Moses from the burning bush. When the staff was raised, the Israelites were winning. But when Moses became tired and the staff lowered, well, the Amalekites were winning. So Aaron and Hur supported Moses. They helped to keep his arms aloft. And when the staff, which in this context certainly serves as a banner, when it was raised high, the Amalekites were defeated. And after this, Moses builds an altar and calls it, "The Lord is my banner," Yahweh Nissi. The Israelites found inspiration when they saw the staff of God raised high. And through the added strength of purpose that it gave them, they were then able to prevail against their sworn enemies. So that's a hopefully fairly brief history lesson on this. So what do we learn from the passage? What can we bring into this today? What can we glean from a piece of scripture that we can put into practical use in our very different lives thousands of years after this event? Psalm 20 verse 5 says this, "May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of God." And then further, verses 6 to 8. "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fail, but we rise up and stand firm." God's people continue to say, "The Lord is my banner," because it's in his power that enemies are vanquished. And if we need to consider that God is our banner, we need to just think back to the original meaning for people who looked up to a banner. Because they saw their banner as a rallying point, a place to gather together, to find comfort, to find camaraderie, to find belonging, to find safety. Isn't that what our church family provides? Don't we come to church for that very reason, to be united with each other, with our fellow worshippers, to learn, to worship, to grow, to belong? Isn't being at church part of being a Christian? Now, I'm not saying just coming to church makes you a Christian. Far from it. Any of us can come into this building each Sunday, sing a few songs, go home and kick the neighbor's cat. Church is an opportunity to worship, to pray, and to learn with other like-minded people. But it's how you then live your life in response to that time together, in your personal relationship with God, through what Jesus did for us, that shows you to be a Christian. But conversely, if you're one of those people, as I confess I have been when it was convenient for me, who believes you don't really have to go to church to be a Christian, well, I think you're missing out on the whole Yahweh Nissi experience. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 tells us this, "Let us consider how we may spur on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." We can definitely have a relationship with God outside of church. In fact, it's probably even more important than a few hours a week we spend in church. But to gather in church together around our banner, to feel that sense of belonging, to learn, to worship, that's church. And then we work together to bring the love of Jesus Christ to our neighbours under the banner of God. That sense of unity, of belonging, of being together under the same banner, it manifests itself in many of the activities we undertake in this church. And it gives us that feeling of belonging. And we've spoken already about belonging as part of the church family and how we can do that as all going on the weekend away. Belonging together under the same banner of God. And this message of working together is essential as an undertone to the event that we've had read to us, because a key part of the passage is not the fact that when God's banner was raised, the Israelites drew strength and prevailed. It's the fact that when Moses tired and the staff began to drop, he was supported by his friends. Aaron and Hur found him a stone to sit on. They held his arms aloft. He couldn't do it on his own, and they were there for him in his time of need. They ensured that the staff remained high for the Israelites to see that God was with them as they fought the Amalekites. And it was through their support that God was able to use Moses to perform his miracle. And surely that's what this was. God's hand was at work to ensure that something occurred that would not have done without his divine intervention. You and I are the hands of God as we support each other. We help each other in times of difficulty, but also we help each other in reaching out to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. We work together in events like jumble sales. We serve together on committees. We help out on the coffee rota. We help out with MCC. We lead worship. We support each other through practical assistance and through prayer. And we do all of this under the banner of God. We're there for each other in times of need. And then we take this support even further outside of our church. We take it into the community, our schools, our workplaces. We're the hands of God as we do his work throughout our daily lives. The Lord is our banner in that he's the one under whom we all unite. He's our saviour. We're rescued by him and identified in him. And we stand with confidence as we take the banner of God outside of our church. And that action can bring us into conflict. Holding your banner up high is an expression of who you are. God is my banner, we cry. This is who I stand for, and that is quite some step. As you stand there with your banner held aloft, I speak metaphorically, if you want to take the banners and wave them on the train to work, you can do so, might get a few odd looks. As you proclaim your faith, you may encounter others who oppose you. And you'll certainly find opposition through temptation. Your banner of God will attract the army of the devil, and he'll throw everything he can at you to defeat you. The enemy wants to capture your banner. He'll attack you with every sort of temptation: greed, lust, avarice, laziness, gossip. And I want you to ask yourself this question over the coming week: how hard am I prepared to fight for my banner? How far am I willing to push myself to ensure my banner is protected from the enemy? To ensure the enemy doesn't capture it? To keep it safe above all other things? How much will I fight to live a life that honours my special relationship with my Creator and Saviour, under whose banner I stand? How can I find the opportunity to raise my banner higher, so that everyone can see it? I'd like to ask you another, possibly more challenging question. How hard are you prepared to fight to bring someone under the banner? How hard will you fight to pull your friend, your colleague, your loved one out of the clutches of the enemy and safely under the banner of God. Friends, that is evangelism. Bringing people from the clutches of the devil and into the safety and comfort that's available to everyone under the banner of God. Oh no, that's not me, you cry. That's not me, I can't do that. I've nothing to offer. We've just heard how God uses Moses to achieve mighty things, to defeat an army with a big stick. Just how much more can you do with what God has given you to achieve mighty things? So what have we learnt from this short passage? God can use each of us to achieve mighty things. Sometimes we need to support each other to achieve those things. We are all united under the banner of God. And we can stand beneath our banner as we take it out into the world, letting everyone see who we represent and what we stand for. Yahweh Nissi. God is my banner. My banner represents who I am, what I stand for, and where I find my refuge. Let's approach the coming week with our banners held high, standing beneath it with confidence as soldiers of Christ, ready to take forward the battle against sin and to complete our mission of sharing Christ's love with our fellow people and to bring them in safely under the refuge of our banner. Let's pray. Father, mentor, provider, saviour, healer, redeemer, friend, Yahweh, God. Lord, we thank you for the many ways in which you reveal yourself to us and the impact that your many identities has on our lives. As you support us, may we support each other so that we might be your hands and do your mighty work, standing with courage under your banner as we share the love of Jesus Christ within these church walls and beyond, so that we might truly be Christ inside and out. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Very challenging as always. And how are we going to respond to that? How are we going to respond to that?